As you unravel me with a melody, and you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone, and I'm
Fire, he says, fan it, blow on it, because when you blow into fire, the flames go higher. And how you get more on fire for me and my word is by getting into my word, by praising and worshiping me and putting me first. Fan that fire.
Do the same for me. Do the same. Don't agree. Here I am.
I'll serve you just the same. Here I am, Lord. Send me on the mountains or the valley. I will choose to praise. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Thank you.
people that do and be obedient to what you want us to do, Lord God, send us. Thank you for the boldness that you've put in our hearts and our spirits. And now I pray that locks be taken off of mouths, Father God, so that we can begin to speak your love and your mercy and your grace to people. Loose our lips, Lord God. Loose the fear in us to talk to other people. Father, we thank you that you, we talk about our grandkids, we talk about our kids, we talk about our co-workers and our husbands, and we talk about all that and how great they are. Why can't we talk about you and how great you are to everybody? You are so good. We just love you, Lord. We love you. Hallelujah. Let our life reflect that, Lord God. We love you, Lord. We just give you glory today. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You definitely are feeling his presence today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And his goodness. Amen.
He is good
praise
all the time,
the
and
Lord.
All the time he is good. Amen. Amen.
Praise Jesus. Whew. Praise the Lord.
Is it hard for you guys to sit down sometimes or to stand or something when his presence is like, is it the same down there as it is up here? Like, it's hard to even form a thought when he's like this.
Amen. Praise
Jesus. Amen. I don't want to form my own thought anyway.
Amen.
I married you after all. I'm just kidding.
Praise Jesus.
Joke.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Speaking of marriage.
Amen. Praise
it's not a good
God.
Idea, ladies. We're not going to teach you to down your husband. But the Love Your Marriage Conference is coming up.
Amen.
It's on the 31st. And there is a place where you can go and sign up so we know how many people are coming. You can just go to our website or you can type that in. Or on our Facebook page, we have that. What do you call that?
Amen. Praise God.
I love that we have you.
Amen.
I was going to say techie geeks in here, but that wasn't the right term, and I stopped myself. I love that we have you geniuses in here.
Amen.
To help us. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Okay, and then we have the women's breakfast, the first Saturday of the month here, 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be exciting. Amber is going to bring the word, so we're excited about that.
Praise the Lord.
And then we have Pastor Dosik.
Yes, this Thursday, the 23rd, in just a couple days, Pastor Dosik is going to be with us for a night of ministry and believing God. So bring people out. Praise
Amen.
God. Hallelujah.
I'm looking. I think I see a few new faces. If you don't know who Pastor Dosik is, pastor's our pastor, Only Believe Ministries. He started 38 years ago, and we're a branch of, we're a campus of Only Believe, and he is the apostle of this church. So he will be here on Thursday. We're excited about that.
And he's going to bring a good word and touch lives, so make sure that you're here, and it's going to be a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Praise
and
God.
And at the end of service, we're going to ask everybody to come back into the sanctuary.
Yes.
So if you're teaching, if you're whatever you're doing and you're outside the sanctuary at the end of service, please, everybody, file back in here.
Because we have some news, and we're going to share that then. Amen?
Amen. And just
after
before
we're done live streaming.
Amen. Just before I leave, we have new envelopes. If you have the old envelope, use it unless you're given by credit card or debit card, because there is a new requirement, the CVC code and the zip code, we must have it to run them. So we had to make new envelopes up. So if you're given, if you're not given by credit card, debit card, you can use the old envelopes. But if you are, you need one of the new envelopes. That's all.
Amen.
That's all I got about that.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we had the men's meeting yesterday, and we really enjoyed ourselves. We had a good time together, praise God, at the men's breakfast, and we had some good fellowship together. So we'll be looking forward to doing that again next month. And we're just going to appreciate God's goodness. I think at this time, we're going to let Pastor Jared go. for the children?
He's not leaving yet.
Oh.
Caleb?
We have a special that we're going to do for offering.
Oh, okay. Caleb is going to go today. Praise God. Well, we'll let the children go.
Really, Jeremiah is leading them all, but you know.
Looks like Jeremiah has that well in hand. Amen. He'll be taking care of things today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our teens and our children are blessed and going to be blessed today. And in the meanwhile, we're going to look here in the book of Matthew, chapter 23. And in verse 23, the Lord is speaking and he says, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and onyx and the cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, such as judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. And I just want to remind you today that as we're giving, giving is one aspect of our relationship with God. Amen? And I thank God that he's touched us spirit, soul, and body. So he is involved, and he cares about every aspect of our life. Amen? And when we get the opportunity to give, this is one aspect of our life that we want to make sure that we do and that we do well. Of course, the Bible says that if we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we will also reap bountifully. And I want you to know that that's in all of these phases. It's in judgments, it's in mercy, it's in faith, and it's in your giving that you want to make sure that you are bountiful in everything that you have an opportunity to do. Amen?
Amen?
So we want to give mercy as much as we can possibly give mercy. We want to use our faith as much as we can possibly use our faith. And when it comes to judgment, we want to be as merciful and as loving and as committed to the word as we can possibly be. And when it comes to our giving, we ought to be the same way. Amen? So this morning when we give, just be thankful that we get the opportunity to sow and that we get the opportunity to share this part of God's covenant for our families and for our life so that he can touch us and that he can minister to us. Amen? And we're just going to pray blessing over our giving today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for touching our hearts, Father God. I thank you, God, for ministering to us in this area, God, and Father, showing us, God, in our own heart and our purpose, Father, how we should give and what we should do, Father God. And I thank you for loving us, Father. I thank you that you put your hand on our life, Father God. I thank you that you rebuke the devourer for us, God. And I thank you that you touch what we have, Father God. And you say that if we sow, we'll have to give to everything, God, and every good thing that comes across our path. And Lord, I just thank you for it, and I give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Hallelujah.
Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet.
God. Hallelujah. What a great way to end the worship service today, knowing that Satan is under our feet. Amen. And that by the power of the Lord, we can take back everything that he tries to steal from us. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, before we go any farther, we have a prayer request. And we're just going to pray for that now. And then, of course, we'll do other ones at the end of the service as they come in. But we're just going to start with a prayer request for Tina Watson. And she's currently in the hospital, and she's going to have a surgery on Monday. But she's in excruciating pain. And we're just going to pray over her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just put Tina before you right now, Father God. And Lord, we just pray that you would touch her, God. Lord, that right now, supernaturally, by the blood of Jesus, you would just release healing into her, Father God. We loose the working of miracles and the gifts of healing to flow into Tina, Father God. And God, just to curb this excruciating pain, Father God. Lord, she's been in this battle for months, Father God, and your hand is upon her. And God, we pray that you touch the hands of the medical team that will be with her tomorrow, Father God. And Lord, that you would just be upon each one of them as they go through this process, Father God, and that Tina would be healed. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the last couple Sundays, we were talking about the fear of the Lord. Amen. And reverencing him and just letting him be the part of our life that is just so important and critical. And we're just going to go from that today. And we're really going to talk a little bit about prayer. And I just want to start here, though, in the book of Romans. And I'm going to read Romans, in Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. And it says in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I want you to know something. That you cannot predetermine everything that's going to happen in your life. Amen? My goodness, we're going to have those good things that come directly from God. Amen? And the Bible says only good and good gifts come down from the Lord. Amen? And so we know that to be true, but we also know that we have an enemy. Amen? And we have a Satan out there that's going to be pushing against us and trying to bring destructive, negative things into our life. And then we have ourselves, amen? And praise the name of the Lord that we want to follow God and that we want to do what's right, but we don't always, amen? And sometimes we have battles because of ourselves, amen? But I want you to know something, that this is a great thing that the Bible says. It says right here that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, amen? And what that means is that even though we have struggles and difficulties in life, and sometimes we come to crossroads that we never expected we would have to face, one thing we can know is that things will work out for our good if we will just love God and continue in his purpose, amen? And so we want to make sure that our lives are open to the goodness of God, no matter what's going on and no matter what's happening, and that we want to make sure that we have our hearts open to see God at every point of our life. Amen? Because I want you to know that as a Christian, the most important thing you're ever going to do is know God. How does that happen? First, through salvation. Amen? The most important thing we're ever going to do on this journey called life is we're going to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, amen? And remember, he can't just be Savior. He can't just come in and rescue us every time we need rescued, even though he's going to do that, amen? That's his nature. But he can't just rescue us alone and that be the only thing he does. The Bible says that he must be Savior and Lord, amen? Remember, the Bible says, why call me Lord and do not the things that I tell you to do? Amen? So when we come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, we're coming into a relationship where we are going to submit ourselves to him and where we are on this journey to purposefully know God. Amen? Because when we know God, we can find freedom. I want you to know that when we know God, we can come out of condemnation, the Bible says. The Bible says for those who are saved, there's no more condemnation on them. Amen? And what that means is that not that you're going to be perfect. In fact, you're going to find flaws in yourself. Amen? But what's going to be great about it is that now when your flaws are exposed, you know that you have a relationship where you can do all things through Christ and he's going to help you get through it. Amen? And therefore, we're going to find freedom to know our true identity in God. Those who the Son set free are free indeed. Amen? There's something about it when we start getting our identity from the Lord instead of anybody else. I tell you what, anxiety will lift off of us. Fear will lift off of us. Boldness and confidence will come when we start getting our identity from the Lord. Amen? And then as we follow and find freedom in the goodness of God touching our life, then we come into a time where we start discovering our purpose. Amen? And we can start discovering who God wanted us to be. Amen? And we can start understanding that the most important thing in our life is knowing the Lord and letting him touch us and then letting that be our reflection to the world. Amen? And so we want to make sure that we discover our purpose in God. Amen? And I tell you what, God will show you every aspect of your life. Amen? I want you to know that there is an anointing that comes upon us to fulfill the destinies that are before us. Amen? I tell you what, when you get married, there's an anointing of God that helps you be the husband or the wife that you are supposed to be. I want you to know that God never leaves you by yourself. Amen? And he will anoint you to be the parent you're supposed to be. Amen? As a father, God will put a touch on you. If you submit yourself to him, he will put a touch on you to help you handle your children, to help you treat them in the right way, whether they are doing wonderful or whether they need correction. Amen? And he will definitely do the same thing for you as a mother. He will touch your life and help you in every aspect of doing those things. Amen? I tell you what, when you look through the Bible, you can definitely find ways that God wants you to raise your children and things like that. But I tell you what, the details he leaves to that intimate relationship. Amen? The details he leaves to those times of prayer and seeking him. And this morning, we're going to just look a little bit at prayer just because I want you to know how profound it is in your life to be people of prayer. Amen? So we're going to go to the book of Acts, praise God, and we're going to look here in Acts chapter 12. Hallelujah. And it's going to take us a little bit to get through this because we got to read a good bit of scripture to get to the end of this story. Amen? And I want you to know that this was a time where King Herod was persecuting the church. Amen? And he was vexing the church and doing what he could because he wanted to stop all this talk about Jesus. And he had already killed James, the brother of John, and he had already killed him and saw that it pleased the Jews and pleased people. So he had put Peter in prison. And we're just going to read here what it says in verse 4. And it says, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. Praise the Lord. Lord, may all the chains fall off of us. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but the thought he saw a vision. So Peter's going through this, and even for him it was so surreal that he thought he was in a vision. He couldn't realize that this was the reality of what was unfolding in front of him. You know, sometimes as Christians, we forget that God can touch natural circumstances. God can change the mind of men. And God can overcome the plans of the devil or darkness that can come upon our life. We've got to remember that God is able to move within our prayers and within our faith when we put it before him with a pure heart. Amen? Praise God. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent this angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. I want you to know something, that God can deliver you from every expectation that could be against you. I want you to know that just like he did here for Peter, the Lord can actually hide his plans for you from the enemy and bring you out a purpose and a path to deliver you out of every situation. Amen? And I want you to know that Peter was kind of surprised. He said, now I know the surety. You know, he was hoping before when he was in that prison. He still had hope that God was going to do something. But he says, now I know for a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. They thought she was crazy. Now remember, they're praying for him. This is the very church that was praying for him. But when she came and said that Peter was set free and was at the door, they thought she was mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, isn't it amazing that they were praying for him to be set free, but they had more faith for his angel to show up than for him to show up? Praise the Lord. Keep this in your heart. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. But I want you to see this. They were astonished. I want you to know that the church back then certainly had its differences from us today, but the church back then also had some things in common with us today. They were astonished that their prayers had worked. They were astonished that someone could be set free from a certain what looked like a certain death and a certain sentence that couldn't be changed, but their prayers made a difference. And I just want to speak to you for a few minutes because I want you to know with a certainty that your prayers can make a difference. I want you to know something, that the devil fights people on a constant basis about their identity, about who they are, about their importance or the lack thereof, about their faith, about their walk. You know, sometimes people even question if it's important or worth their while to come to church. There's lots of people in the world that question whether it's important or their life is important enough. You know, some people have been so hurt and been so much through this thing called life that sometimes they question if God even cares about them. Or whether it's important for them to reach out and seek God. But I want to ensure you today, and I want to declare unto you today, that if you're alive and breathing, God has a plan and a purpose for you. Amen? If you're alive and breathing, God has something in store for you in your life. Amen? And I want you to know that your prayers and your effort make a difference. Amen? I want you to know something, that you might not ever know what all your prayers can touch. I tell you what, sometimes God will put somebody on your heart and you might not even know why He's asking you to pray for them. But just open your spirit and let your heart pray for them, because I'm telling you that what you're praying for is important and it will make a difference. Amen? I want you to know something, that this morning I want you to understand that the church was astonished. They were shocked. They were amazed because their prayers made a difference. But I want you to know something, that we should understand that our prayers make a difference. The choices that we make make a difference. I want to remind you that the Bible says that your children, if you'll raise them up in the Lord, when they're older, they will not depart. Well, I want you to know that sometimes you're going to see some things out of your children that are disappointing to you. Amen? You're going to see some things that might even shock you or surprise you. But I want you to know something. Never give up your faith and never give up your belief that your children will return to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I want you to know that God has a covenant with you as a parent that your children can be saved, and that He will bless them, and that He will cause them to turn unto you. I want you to know that just this week, I went to the hospital with another person, and we went to go see their brother. And I want you to know that this man has been struggling with drugs and all kinds of stuff for over 40-something years. He's just been fighting the call and the purpose of God, and he's been against it his whole life, and he's been out there living a certain way. And you know, we were just believing God. His mother, before she died, my friend's mother, before she died, she prayed that every one of her children would be saved. And I want you to know that this brother has seen several of his siblings go home to be with the Lord. And so far, without fail, he's never seen one of them go home to be with the Lord without salvation in their heart. And I got to tell you something. We walked in that hospital room, and I want you to know something, that we were sitting there praying before we got there on how we're going to approach him and what we're going to say, because we knew that our number one, sure, we were going to pray for his pain. We were going to pray for him to be healed. We were going to do all that. But we were certain that the most important thing we could do that day is to make sure he was right with the Lord. And we had an atmosphere of prayer the whole ride to the hospital, and we were just thinking about what we're going to do and how we're going to come up with this plan to get this man to receive Jesus. Amen? And buddy, we walked into the room, and we didn't even have to say anything, because he began to cry, and he said, "I need to know more than anything that my heart is right with God." Praise the Lord. But I want you to know something, that if we're not careful, sometimes we'll let the enemy and circumstance and years beat us up and derail our faith from believing that God can do what God says he'll do. We could have easily let 40-something years of drug addiction and not following the Lord, we could have easily let that build up a resistance from us even have the nerve to believe that this man could be saved. But we just didn't let the circumstances of life outweigh the potential of God. And I want you to know something. Have I prayed for people and not seen the results that I wanted to see? You better believe I have. And if you would ask me, sometimes I can't give you an answer as why I prayed and didn't get to see what I thought for sure I was going to see. Because it's the will of God for people to be healed. It's the will of God for people to be saved. It says in his word. 1 Peter 2:24 says that by his stripes we were healed. We see where Jesus went out. And oftentimes it says that he healed them all. We see where people even asked him to his face. And he said, I will. Be thou healed. Amen? So I want you to know, have I prayed and seen things that didn't just go the way I wanted them to? Absolutely. But will that ever deter me from praying for people to be healed or be saved? Absolutely not. And I want you to know something, that we are just going to have to be those people that can be astonished by what God does. I want you to know something. Isn't it amazing that a church in the book of Acts was praying for something to come to pass? And when it happened, they were still astonished. I want you to know something, that you can pray and it will come to pass. And I tell you what, I pray that the Lord astonishes you in your prayers. Amen? I pray that you see things that make you say, wow, whoa, look at the goodness of God. And I want you to be people that use your faith and don't be afraid of thinking something that somebody might consider radical. Amen? Praise God. Believing for somebody who's never served God their whole life to turn their life over to him. Amen? Because it is possible. It is what he does, and it is what he wants to do. Amen? I want you to know that even the king, one of the strongest people in the land at that time, the king had a plan to kill a man that was in prison. But because the church prayed and God's will touched down on this situation, this man was 100% set free. Amen? And I want you to know something, that we're going to look at this not just from the church's standpoint, but we're going to look at this from an individual standpoint, because I want you to know how important it is for you to know that God can work within what you give him. Amen? So we're going to look at James chapter 5. And in James chapter 5, verse 14 or 13, and it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. I want you to know something. We should have people that we can confide in and people that we can pray together with and people that we trust. And I tell you what, we can pray and be healed. Amen? And you know the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. Amen? And we need to be together as people of the faith, and we need to join ourselves one to another. And I want to read this to you, and I want to spend just a few minutes here talking to you about this because I think that it's critical for us to understand this. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, I want you to know something. Don't get caught up on that word righteous. Amen? Because that word righteous means someone that's been made right by the blood. Amen? And I want you to know that your righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Amen? So I want you to know that if you are a believer in God and that you are a saved Christian, that you consider yourself right now to be one of these righteous people. Amen? The prayer of a righteous man or woman, you know, when it says a righteous man in the Bible, oftentimes because the way it's written, they're covering all of humanity. Amen? So I want you to know that whether you're a righteous man or a woman, your prayers availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Well, I want you to know something. I've been praying for all this snow and cold weather to go. Hallelujah. And it hasn't happened yet, but it ain't going to stop by prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just this morning, me and Pastor Regina was driving in, and here I was talking to them snowflakes saying, it's time for you to give up and quit. I said, it's time for you to go back to Alaska or wherever you came from. Wherever you're supposed to be right now, but I'm praying that you're not supposed to be in Ohio. But but I just want you to seriously look at this. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. I want you to know that sometimes when we read the stories in the Bible and we read about the people that are in the Bible, if we're not careful, we can consider them more than who we are. You know, when we read the story of Moses or Esther or whoever it is, if we're not careful, because of the results they saw and because of what happened in their life, if we're not careful, we can put them on a pedestal. And we can believe that somehow they had something different than we do. But here the Bible is clear that they were people of like passions as we are. In other words, they were human beings. Amen? And the only difference that they had during their time is that they gave their heart to God and they didn't give up and they used their faith. And as a result, they saw things from God happen on a great scale. I want you to know something, that each and every one of us have got to continue to believe that we can see something happen in the arena of faith. Amen? We've got to be people that believe that our prayers can avail much. Amen? We've got to be people that believe that the Lord can use us and pray through us and make things happen and cause things to be accomplished in this thing called life. Amen? I want to just go and read something to you here in the book of Romans. Praise God. And I just want to read this because I think it says something here that I want to touch on. It says, in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Wow. When we hear something, it should be a part of our instantaneous nature to want to pray and put it before God. You know, we were driving the other day, and I was just excited. I didn't say nothing, but I was just excited because we saw a car wreck. And it was off to the side of the road there, and we were coming up on it. And all of a sudden, as soon as we saw that car wreck, Pastor Gina started praying for the people involved in that car wreck. And I said, man, God, that's how it should be. When we hear something, our response should be to pray. Oh, I got to step on us for a minute here. Don't get mad at me. But our first response should not be anger. Praise the Lord. Our first response should not be to get terrified. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Boy, I feel something on that anger. Praise God. Woo! Our first response should not be to be angry, terrified, or just in the natural, let our emotions just fly everywhere they want to fly. And I'm telling you, I know that it's hard to fight it, but I'm telling you that somehow in your spirit, your first response ought to be that I want to be instant in prayer. It's another one of those times where the Bible says, be slow to speak, quick to hear. And that doesn't mean just hear in the natural people. No, no, no. Let's be quick to hear quietly in our spirit what the Lord is saying to us. Amen? Whose report will you believe? I shall believe the report of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you that sometimes in the middle of situations, you'll hear something and a scripture from God will just drop in your spirit. I encourage you to grab a hold of that and just hold fast to what that is. Amen? Hold fast to your confession of faith. Amen? Hold fast to the opportunity of what God is saying in our life. Amen? The Lord is moving on our behalf and he wants to touch what we got going on. And it says here, continuing instant in prayer. I pray that we'll be people that are instant in prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. I just want to read something over here in the book of Luke. And this is just a reference to your Lord and Savior so you can see how Jesus did things. I want you to know that sometimes if we're not careful, we act like Jesus just had everything perfect because he was the Son of God. And though in context that's true, I also want you to know that he was 100% man while he was here, and there are some things he did that we ought to take account for and make sure that we have in our own life. Amen? And so I just want to share with you that Jesus, in the middle of being busy, in the middle of all he was doing, in the middle of dealing with people, I just want to read something to you here. That it says in Luke 5, verse 15, it says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And this is what I want to concentrate on here. Look what it says in Luke 5, verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus didn't just do what he did because he was the Son of God. He did what he did because he was the Son of God that followed so hard after his Father that it says in John chapter 5 that I can of my own self do nothing. I only do that what I see and hear my Father do. And then it says that as a result of him being away praying, look what happens. It says in verse 17, it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I want you to know something, that your prayers can touch the power of God. We can see the power of God in our life. We can experience him. Amen? I want you to know something, that you can have God doing things in your life on a constant basis. Amen? And we need to be people that make sure that we touch the heart of God with our prayers and that we're not afraid to ask him and to move with him in this thing called life. Amen? And it says in Proverbs 15, in verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked. Boy, that's a statement within itself. Amen. But he hears the prayer of the righteous. God hears your prayers. God is with you on a day-to-day basis. Amen. And I want you to know something, that the Bible says that we don't got to give big, long prayers or fancy speaking when we pray. I want you to know that God knows who you are, and he can hear you even in your simplicity. Amen? He's a God that knows us. You know, we were talking on Thursday night that God knows, has every hair on your head numbered. Amen? And if he knows that much detail about us, don't you think that he knows your personality? Don't you think that he knows who you are? Don't you think that he knows how to relate to you? He knows how your brain works? Amen. Praise the Lord. I might not have a clue how your brain works. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I know I don't have a clue of how some people's brains work. Amen. But I tell you what, the Lord knows who you are. And the Lord's with you and will touch you and will work with you because he created you. Amen. Remember that the Bible says that the Lord knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And who you are is important to God. And so, let's be people that are astonished by the goodness of God because we press in and pray and we put things before him. Tell you what, I would love to hear the testimony of someone who said, Pastor, I was praying over this and this is what happened. I love to hear when people use their faith and they can tell me a story about their personal situation where God has touched them. Amen. And I want you to know something. I look forward to hearing your stories of faith. Because they're going to come. Because God is going to touch your life. And God is going to move with you. And God is going to help you. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now, God. I just pray, God, that we would use our faith, that we would release our prayers, and God, we would believe that you're the one who would answer them. Amen? Lord, there's many things in the natural that we believe for our children, being good parents and being who we are, to love one another. And God, if we can believe for good things, Father, how much more so can we believe in your goodness and what you'll do for our life, Father God? And how much you want to touch us. Lord, I pray today that we're just like those people in the book of Acts chapter 12 that prayed and prayed and our prayers were so answered that we were astonished at what happened because of those prayers. And Lord, I pray that we would recognize that our prayers make a difference, God. And that you've put the ability for us to pray in the Word of God so that we can interact with you and so that we can have you interact with us, God. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Praise God. Now we have a few prayer requests. And right now we're going to put Phil, Haley, and Braden before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for them, God. And God, we know that they're sick. And God, they're fighting some symptoms and some sickness, Father God. And Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name to just remove this, Father God, and to make them whole, Father God. To heal them and touch them, Father God. And lift sickness, God, and symptoms from them, Father God. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We put Dale and Amy before you, God. And God, we ask you to touch them as they're sick, Father God. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you, God, would just remove this sickness from them. And Father, we just loose the working of miracles and healing to flow into their life, Father God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And God, right now we put Michael Spangler before you, Father God. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray over this cancer, Father God. And Lord, we pray, Father God, that as he goes in for these procedures, that the doctors are led and directed, God, and that they are touched by you, Father God. And Lord, that you're with them in this process, Father God, and that, God, this surgery will bring healing, Father God. And I just pray blessing over Michael, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And we give the Lord this glory this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, that kind of concludes our service today as far as what we're going to put on live stream. So I'm going to ask you guys to cut the live stream feed right now.